What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
We've been talking about the visionary. So last week we got to some very exciting places talking about the need to have a purpose, be established in a God-ordained purpose. One of the first things we saw is that God is consistent in purpose. The purpose of God for creating man is to have fellowship with man, and so that man would be a blessing, to live in a world of perfect peace where everything works. Amen. And God has doggedly stayed with that course. We saw it consistently in the people he related with in scriptures. That is what he said in Genesis 1. That he still says to what he says to Adam in Genesis 1 is what he says to Abraham in Genesis 12 is what he says to Noah in Genesis 6, 7, and 8. So consistently we go through scripture. It's what he says to the nation of Israel after they left Egypt. So consistently God stays with his purpose. His ways of dealing with man over time has changed, but how many of you know the purpose has remained? That's why we have an old covenant and we have a new covenant. So his way of relating with man has changed, but his core purpose for relating with man has never changed. So we said, if you're going to build anything that will last, how many of us want to build things that last? God bless you. Amen. You want to build a ministry. Somebody say, is it God? I thought it's God that builds. No, it's you. He gives you a vision, then you build it. And we are builders together. That's what Paul tells us in Corinthians. That we are working together with God. But you see, God gives us the blueprint, then we do what? We build around it. If you're going to build anything that will be of lasting value, you need to understand that you cannot keep changing and switching purpose. If you want a company that outlives you, then one of the things you should do is from the onset, establish a core objective, a core purpose. Are you getting me? Not just living and chasing trends. Somebody say, well, Pastor, I've started, but I don't have a core purpose. But that's what we're saying. You can establish it. And we said last week that three things would define a God-given purpose. We said, first of all, is that it will have a word from God. Jesus had a word from God. Amen. He found where it was written concerning him in the books. The Bible says he went into the temple and the book of what? Isaiah was opened, given to him, and he turned to the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is where? Is upon me. Do you know it was Jesus' core purpose to preach, to bring healing, to loose the bands of those who were oppressed, and he stuck with it. Even amidst numerous what? Distractions. There was a time he fed the multitude in Matthew chapter 14, and the Bible said they wanted to make him a king. But you see, because he knew his core purpose, do you understand what I'm saying? He stuck with it. One of the things I notice with Christians sometimes, and that should change, is that we are quick to starting things. But because there is no core purpose, no core word, are you getting me? Defining what we're doing, we are quick to switch. So we keep, you know, trying things out. Listen, there's nothing wrong with experimentation. There's nothing wrong with trying things out. But it must be tried within the confines of a purpose. Not when your purpose keeps what? Changing. I told someone, I said, it's very important as a believing Christian who is entrepreneurial, who is enterprising, to be known for something, not known for everything. Some of you have heard me quote that, you know, phrase, jack of all trade. You know, most times when we quote it, we say jack of all trade, master of none. But that's not the original quote. The original quote is jack of all trade, master of one. It means you should have an idea of everything and know everything about something. Do you understand now? So you should be known for something. You should be located somewhere. Today you are singing, tomorrow you are fashion. Another day you want to cook. Are you getting me? Another day, you know, you can't keep moving like that. So have a word from God. That word can come to you from reading scriptures. It could come to you through a prophetic declaration. Is somebody following? But whatever it takes, make sure that you build your house on a word from God. And one of the things Jesus taught is that building a house that will last so that when winds blow and the storms come requires you digging to find the foundation. The Bible says he dug and established it on the foundation. So you need to dig for God's word. You need to stay. Because God's word to me concerning what I'm doing might not be the same word for you. Did you get that? Might not be the same word for you. So it's important to be established in God's word. Then the second thing we said is that every God-given purpose, if you look into it, it will serve God and it will serve men. It will bring glory to God. It will serve men. Because that's always been his plan. In Genesis 1, I think, Genesis 1:28, maybe give me the Amplified translation. Let's read it so that I'm just doing a quick review. For those of us who are not in church, you can get the series. But let's just say this. Genesis 1:28, not 15. Okay. Yeah, look at what it says. The Bible says, and God blessed them and said to them, that Adam and Eve, you inclusive, because you were there, right? And said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. What's the purpose of resources? It's to be used in the service of God and man. So every purpose, every core ideology for any business, any ministry, anything that God has asked you to do, there will be that element of what? Of service to God and to man. So let me ask, what you are pursuing in life, is it serving men? Is it bringing glory to God? What is the place of God in what you're doing? Do you know, hallelujah, that if you're engaging in anything, or you say, okay, I want to start this thing, I want to do that. You know, because we said that God has given us seeds. Everything God gives to us comes to us in what? In seed form. Children come in seed form. Thoughts are seeds. Everything comes in seeds. And you have to plant those seeds. Now, if the reason for planting those seeds is purely for financial gain, then something is wrong. And how can you tell? You wake up every day, you go to a business, you wake up every day, you go to work in an office, you wake up every day, you go to a shop, and you come back, hello? And they ask you why. If the only reason is collecting a salary, do you know you have not established purpose? One of the ways you can test for purpose is that you are doing something that is not just for financial gain. It's not just for the financial benefit. And listen, that's when you begin to truly live life. Life is not just about money. And that's why Christians should not make decisions just for the sake of what? Of money. Can I speak to you? You don't even change cities because they are paying more in the other city. Does God want me here? You should be able to ask such questions. Because the Bible says, you see, the love of money, when Paul talks about the love of money in his letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, the love of money is not people who like money. Not in the context that some of us think about the love of money. Because most times when people say the love of money is the root of all evil, guess where their mind goes first? Every rich person loves money. I discovered that people who are poor love money more than people who are rich. You know what the love of money is? When money becomes what dictates your decisions, what dictates what you do, and tells you where to be and where not to be, and you serve money. That's what Jesus said. When you serve mammon. So if the sum total of that whole business is just based on the fact that you just want to make money, you discover that you'll be living for a moment. Because you will get the money. But visionaries in scripture They live for something more than money, more than profit. True of us. David. But was David in lack by any standard? It was David who said, I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, what? Big bread. Have you ever seen, you know, Abraham lack? What I'm telling you is I find a God cause that serves humanity, that serves lives, and your life will never remain the same. You should be living for something that is saving lives, bringing and making a difference in people's what? Lives. Are you with me? Be that difference. Make a difference in people's lives. Something that supplies value. In parable in Matthew 25, where Jesus was commending all the various people that the three servants, you know what was said consistently about the first and the second? It was that they were good. Now, when you read, thou good and faithful servant, when you read good, what comes to your mind? Is it because they were always smiling, getting up in the morning, greeting all their neighbors? No, no, no. That's not what he meant by good. Good means they were able to use what they had, what was given to them. Somebody with me. They were able to use what was given to them as what? They were able to use it to be a blessing to others by trading. Maybe I should read Matthew 25. Go there, Matthew 25. Give me verse 24. The Amplified, not the classical Amplified, the old Amplified. Do you have it? No, the new Amplified, sorry, not the old one, the new one. This is the classical one. Let me just read the old Amplified. If you have it, you can put it up. If you don't have it, I have it. Just give me a moment and then we'll be up. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 25. Now you've put that one off. Okay. Amplified Bible. All right. Look at what the new Amplified says. See now, verse 29. Well, let's read from verse 28. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said, so take the talent away from him. Talent there is referring to a bag of money. He said, take a talent away from him and give it to the one who has the what? The 10 talents. Verse 29 says, for to everyone who has and values his blessings and gifts from God. You see, everyone who has and then does what? Values his blessings and gifts from God. Now, what was given to them? Talents. But what the scripture referred to them as, refers to them as what? Blessings and what? Gifts. So your gifts and the things that God has deposited in your care should be perceived with value. They are valuable. Do you understand? He said, and has used them wisely. This is on the premise that they are called good. It is the wise use of what God has blessed you with in being a blessing to others that is referred to as what? As good. Amen. It didn't say you are good people. It means you generated good. You produced goods. Hallelujah. That blessed humanity. Wouldn't it be a joy for some of you here? Amen. To bring innovations that would change the lives of people forever. To come up with easier ways of doing things. Come up with strategies that business people can employ in greater productivity. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're a teacher, you are delivering what? Goods. If you want to start, let's say I want to own a school, and you started the school, why did you start it? Amen. Is it because you want to change the face of that community? Is that you want to transform that place through education? Glory. Not just doing it because that is the trending business in town. I've seen some Christians just sit down and say, hey, so what do you think? I just got some money now. What do you think I can invest into it that can just bring money? No. You are just a time teller. But if you want to be a clock builder, are you getting me? You can't leave such as an inheritance. If you want to be a clock builder, then you will go past such questions. The Bible says, if you are the person who perceives what you do wisely and you're a good person, more will be given and you will be richly supplied so that you will have an abundance. Did you see how it works? So that you will have an abundance. Amen. You say, but anyone that does not have, why doesn't he have? Is it because God is wicked? No, scripture says, because he has ignored or disregarded his blessings and gifts from God. Even what he does have will be taken away. I'm going to major in here this week because I want to say some things. Are we following? And of course, the third thing we said about a God-given purpose is that it will profit. Because if you read scriptures in verse 30, the Bible says to cast away the unprofitable servant. So God, every God-given purpose, you know, there's always been the argument, don't do things because, you know, some people say, okay, if we don't do things because of money, how do we keep afloat with what we're doing? Listen to me, is that you have to pursue purpose profitably. That means the core reason for doing this is established. Then you profit in it as a means to an end and not an end in itself. So you have to conduct your life and conduct what you do in a way that it's profitable. Do you understand me? You have to do it in a way that it's profitable. In a way that it serves the purpose. Not using the purpose to serve the profit. It's using the profit to serve the purpose. Listen, if you do this and you begin to build the systems, things will change. You will leave something bigger than you. Because the greatest thing a man can leave for a generation are not the products. It's the system that delivers the products. The products might change, but if you have created a system, that system will be able to generate more products. I don't know if you get me. Be able to generate more products. So it's about building systems. Proverbs 24. Go to Proverbs 24. Let's read that scripture. Thank you, Lord. Are we alive here? So the Bible says, Proverbs 24 from verse 2. Verse 3. Do you have the New Living Translation? I would have preferred the Living Bible, but I have the Living Bible. Now, New Living Translation says, a house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. Then verse 4 says, through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables. Verse 5 says that the wise, listen now, the wise are mightier than the strong, and those with knowledge grow stronger and stronger. Hear what the Living Bible says. It says, any enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. Then verse 5 says, a wise man is mightier than a strong man. Wisdom is mightier than strength. So what is scripture saying? Somebody might be stronger financially, might be stronger positionally. But what scripture is saying is that if you have wisdom, any day you will always win. You know why? You cannot build without wisdom. Let me just put it in another way we can understand. Hallelujah. Have you ever looked at someone and wondered, how come this person is more talented or this person is more gifted? It doesn't leave you hopeless. If you understand, if you get wisdom to build, are you getting me? And you are consistent with it, scripture says that you will do better, you will be stronger, you will be more established, and you'll get more results. So what do we pursue? We pursue wisdom. And he says, every enterprise is built by wise planning. I discovered that what makes people fail is a lack of planning, lack of understanding of what it takes. Jesus said, will any man go to build what? Go to war without first of all counting the cost, or who will build a house without sitting down to see whether he can finish it? So we can tell where a thing is headed from the way it starts. I know a lot of times they say, you don't know what can become of this. Yes, you might not know, but that there are things that when you lay hold on, there are understandings that when you have, you can be sure that this is how it's going to end. And that's the wisdom we're talking about. The wisdom of God for you. And that's part of the things we've been sharing in the course of this series on being a visionary. Showing you different aspects from scriptures, what it takes to build. Hear me. It's not enough. This bears repeating. It is not enough to be earning $5 million a month when you can create a system that can put 5 million people earning $1 million a month. Am I talking to someone? I was telling someone a few days ago that part of what we celebrate in CFC is not how much you make, is how many people you make. That's what we're looking for. Who are you making? What are the things in place to help others succeed, help others to stand? Are we following now? Praise the Lord. So let me just share some few things with you, because the Bible says wisdom is mightier than what? Than strength. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Just give me New King James. Now let's go to verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So for now, we see in the mirror dimly. He didn't say, I blame myself for being a child. He said, I put away what? Childish things, because he's growing. So you expect to grow. And don't blame yourself for where you are. But you should blame yourself for remaining where you are. Do you get what we're saying? But life is a continuous what? Motion. We're always in motion. We're moving. And if you stop moving, motion will not stop, will not cease. People will keep moving. So you have to keep moving. So he said, when I was a child, this is who I was. But now that I'm a man, I've given up the childish ways of thinking and childish ways of going about things. So let me put it this way. We're talking about the visionary, right? Building things. Let me put it this way. There are things that you started, and that was how you started. But you know, you don't have to remain the way you started. You can learn better ways of doing things. I know I'm jumping in and out of my text now, but I want to say this. I was looking at someone the other day and I said, this guy is extremely talented. But I noticed that he does everything. He has not been able to put what he does into a way that can generate greater what? Value. So a lot of times he has to be here and has to be here. He has to be there and he has to be there. And at the end of the day, he's nowhere. Do you know what I mean? He's trying to meet every person's demand, trying to deliver the value to different people. And he can't satisfy many people. And I said, I just wish he could do what? Understand that there are better ways to do what he's doing and maximize what he's doing. Yes, he might have started that way. Are you with me? But he has to give up childish ways. So, some of the companies we call visionary companies, some of the people we look at as legendary, do you know some of them didn't even start out thinking that they'll have that larger than life status? But at some point in time, are you with me? At some point in time, they began to perceive what they were doing differently. Wisdom came to them and said, oh, this thing I'm doing can become this. This thing I'm doing can become this. And then they began to organize it. What was working? It was wisdom. They began to plan around that thing that was a seed. Rather than doing one thing the same way all their lives, they came to a place where they could maintain what they loved doing and doing it in a different way. I believe someone's getting what we're saying. He said, for now we see in a mirror dimly. Now I'm bringing this scripture out in a different light, in the light of what we're saying. He says, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And look at what he discovered. And now abide what? Faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is what? Is love. I told you last week that I'm going to talk to you about building, having values that defines your purpose and what you do. What are values? Values are not just things you copy and say, this is CFC watchwords. Or you say, in this business, let's say your business is ABY business. And you go and read some management books and then you just write. You copy some value and say, our value is punctuality, loyalty, and consistency. Then you read another journal and you're like, no, I like the way these people are going. I like where these people are going. So you now get a new set of value system. Listen, values are not things that are copied. Values are beliefs. Are you with me? Values are beliefs. They are internal. They are internal instincts. They are things that are established in you that forms the core of your personality. They are not things you are trying to do. They are things that define who you are. You know, like we say here, that we are CFC. We are not going to CFC. We are. So when we talk about our watchwords, we are not just saying some nice things one right. It is what we believe. Those are our convictions. Now, in business, in ministry, hello, in pursuit of life's goals as you make your plans, one of the things you need to establish, first of all, hello, are the values that defines who you are. I was watching a movie some time ago, and after many episodes, someone had made a promise, and after many episodes, they even had their disagreement, and it looked like he wasn't going to deliver on his promise. And at the end of the day, the guy still delivered on his promise, and this guy was shocked because he didn't see that coming, and he said, no, I gave you my word, and I always keep my word. I mean, that's a value system. That's a value system. So the question, the reason lots of Christians fail, no matter how beautiful their dreams and ideas are, is that they've not defined the values necessary to be able to carry them through the long haul. In CFC, we call it what? Love. We talk about excellence. We talk about what? Faithfulness. We talk about commitment. And we define them. Now, the Bible says, now abides what? Faith, hope, and love. He said, but the greatest of these is love. See, love, whatever the value system of any believer is, are you getting me? Your values must be established on the love of God. Now, that might look like a very simple statement, but it's powerful. That anything you're doing must be based on the love of God. If you read Jerry Savelle's book, In the Footsteps of a Prophet, he was talking about his experience with Kenneth Copeland. And he said, God spoke to him, and some of you know his story. how he didn't even like pastors, and then he met Kenneth Copeland teaching God's word, and his whole life changed. And before that time, he was into automobile repair, or what we call panel beaters, right? He was a panel beater. He kept listening to Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland came and had a meeting in their city, and the wife went and invited him. And the wife was the one keeping the tapes in those days. So he listened to those tapes over and over. And then he sensed in his heart, God was calling him to go and work with Kenneth Copeland. And he came to work with Kenneth Copeland. Long story, very interesting book, In the Footsteps of a Prophet. But what got to me in that book, that's, even if I forget anything in that book, what has remained with me in that book was the value system that Kenneth Copeland established KCM on. Kenneth Copeland told him, you know, when they got there, he had, by word of knowledge, Kenneth Copeland discovered that there was a day he and some of the office staff were having a conversation, and they spoke in a particular way that had to do with strife. You know, they were just complaining, and Kenneth Copeland called him into his office and said, "Jerry, what were people saying the day before? You know, when you're working with a prophet, you need to be disciplined." And he said, "This is the conversation, and this is what we're saying." He said, "All right, I just want to let you know that this is what you people were saying, and this is what they were saying, but you were not saying anything. The two of them were the ones talking." And Copeland said, "They've been fired." He said, "Because one of the things we will never tolerate in Kenneth Copeland ministry is strife." He said, "If you walk in strife, you will be fired." That means not something that can be tolerated. You know why? For somebody to say we cannot tolerate strife here, that means there's something he sees about strife and what strife can do to this ministry, or if you're a business person, your organization, that they've put it. It might not have been written as a law, but how many of you know it's enshrined in the minds of every person working in Kenneth Copeland Ministries that strife, working in strife, cannot be tolerated in this place. Why? He's building something. So the question I will ask you is that, what you're building, if your values are not defined by love, because the Bible tells us that the greatest is what? Is love. If as a believer, you're building anything, a ministry, a marriage, that is not established on love, or that the values you have defined that thing by are not found in God's word, I mean, if you know, it might not last long. And in building to last, you must reach out into love and understand what love is. Say amen if you can. Is somebody getting me tonight? Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 15. So I want to talk to you about love. Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Look at verse 17. Okay, verse 16, sorry. He says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." There is nothing you want to do. You know, sometimes you feel that because you are doing something for people, everybody will love you. Just because you have a good intention doesn't mean that everybody will accept it. And the people that you want to do something for sometime can change you if you have not established your core what? Your core values. I remember once we were doing a community outreach in the church in Boko here. And a lot of money had gone into it. And we set up the stand and we came, you know, free medical services, and we're going to feeding people free. Then some hoodlum came from nowhere within the area and scattered it. As a matter of fact, it was our first experience here, because we've had Love is King campaign in other parts of Boko, and we felt that we had a church in this area, it would just be good to reach out to the people and be a blessing to them. And so you naturally think that when everybody comes, they'll be saying, "Glory, glory, hallelujah." And then these guys just came and scattered the place. And I was just standing there, angry. Some of the church members that came, who came to serve, almost wanted to serve those boys in a different way. You know what I mean? You know. So I told them, I said, no, there's no need for that. We didn't come here. We wanted to be a blessing, not to come and beat up anybody. So we had to close. The elders came. It was just chaos. The whole situation was chaotic. And I said, why are people like this? You want to help people. You want to be a blessing to them. And naturally, you would think that they will embrace it. And God spoke to me. He said, Arome, this was the aftermath of everything. When I sat down in retrospect, I said, look, Arome, you will go back again and still be a blessing to them. Because that is the core of what you want to do. I don't know if you get me. Now, if our value systems are not driven by love, do you know the natural thing to do is to keep them out and say, when you want to help people who don't want to be helped, let them suffer so that they can appreciate help some other time. But you see, your values will not allow you to do certain things, and it will motivate and push you to do certain things. Do you know why some Christians bring out products that are substandard? It's because their value system is not established on love. We emphasize excellence in Christ Family Ministries. Hello? Are we emphasizing excellence because we want to show off? No. It's because by excellence, we mean that excellence inspires people and honors God. That if we're doing anything for God, hello, then we should give it our best shot and want people to come around us and be inspired to see something different. To see that if it doesn't work in the larger society here, it does what? It works, and give them an idea. We want people to be able to dream when they come in contact with us. To be able to see that this is possible and that this thing we're doing, are you getting me, is to inspire you, to strengthen you, and to help you. So values are very, very what? Are very, very important. Because Jesus said, look, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. He didn't say you're going to meet sheep. So you are setting out to do a business, maybe in a particular city. You want to have this particular, you know, idea. I want to start this salon that, you know, will bring innovations to town. Don't think that that town that Jesus is sending you to go and do that thing, everybody's going to be shining their teeth and say, wow, this is what we've been looking forward to. No. He said, I'm sending you out as what? As sheep in the midst of wolves. He didn't say kill the wolves. What did he say? He says, therefore, because of this, be what? Be wise as serpents. He didn't say bite them as serpents. He said be as harmless as dove. That means you need to find corners. You need to meander your way. You need to innovate. You need to take advantage of opportunities. Some Christians curse the people and leave. But Jesus said, no, be harmless as a dove. Even in Jesus' life, go to Mark chapter 6. Let me show something, Mark 6. Let love push you. Let love direct what you do. As you plan, establish that first. A pastor, you want your church to grow. Why do you want your church to grow? Is it to the end that the tithes will increase and the offerings will be more so you have a comfortable life? Is that why? Or you want to see, you love people and you want to see their lives what? Change. You want to see their lives transformed. If you're that kind of pastor, you will check the attendance before you check the offerings. I was watching a particular man of God, big assembly, and when he finished service, they now reminded him that he have not taken the offering. He said, oh, yes, let's take the offerings now. You see, he was so consumed with being a blessing to the people, seeing people get healed, seeing lives transform. Is it not people that reminded him about the offerings? But when you take the offerings before the message, you understand me? So you have to pursue purpose profitably. If you are a hairstylist, your joy is that people should carry good looks around. That should be your primary satisfaction. Are you with me? Then you will discover that as you satisfy people, they will come from all over to seek you. Love for people. I know I'm talking to people here. Look at Jesus. Mark chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. Verse 2. Mark chapter 6. I thought that even Jesus, everybody would just accept him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things?" Imagine, they were astonished. Where did he get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Look at the next statement. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? They didn't want to mention those ones. No need to call their names. The Bible says, so they were offended at him. What is wrong in having brothers and sisters? The Bible says they were offended at him. Now, I want you to bring it into your everyday scenario. Let's say you've been out of your town for a while, and God just puts in your heart to bring a factory there. And then you come and you tell them that, look, we're going to develop this neighborhood. We're going to have a school. We're going to do this. And then we're going to create job employment and all that. And guess what? They start saying, wait, is it not Okoro's son? Chuka. That's Chuka's brother now. So he wants to bring factory here now. In short, get out of here. Imagine, is it wrong to have a father or have siblings? But you see, this is what I want you to get. Whatever good intentions you have that you want to build something, don't take away from the fact that there is a caste system that the devil tries to manipulate. Hate and offense is not because your visions are bad. Hate and offense is not because you are bad. Hate and offense is just that you are in a broken system. But love is what conquers. I pray you get this. Joseph had a great dream. I know a lot of people keep saying that he shouldn't have shared that dream. But what is even wrong in sharing that dream? What is wrong? Before, I used to think that you have to offend someone for the people to be offended at you. But listen, you don't need to do anything for people to be offended at you. As long as there's a devil and people are in their fallen nature, offense. In fact, Jesus said it's not possible. Jesus said it's not possible for offense not to come. But woe to him through whom the offense will come. That means as long as you want to do anything in this system, there will be offense. You start a team, there will be offense. You get people together and say, look, this is what we're going to do. Someone will be offended by the fact that you want to do it the way you want to do it. But listen, does that mean you should tolerate offense? No. Jesus' response to offense always excites me. When John the Baptist was beheaded, you know what the Bible says? When he heard it, he was sad. But instead of, because these are the same people he came to minister to. They are the same people killing his forerunner and his cousin. But yet the Bible tells us that he turned around. He turned around and he ministered to the sick. He healed the sick. What are we saying? Things didn't go as planned. He had a purpose. But his value system is what directed what he did. Now, if his value system was not based on love, hello, you know there are different ways he would have reacted. One could hold an all-night meeting cursing them. Listen, I want every CFC member here to deliver good products. Because you love people. If you are working with the TV ministry, you will not be doing things anyhow. Because people are involved. If you're coming to sing, glory to God, you will sing your best. You give it your best shot. Why? You are serving something to people. And in the early days of building, in the early days of starting out, can I speak to someone? There are going to be multiple reasons to walk in offense, but you have to reject it. And not just the early days. All your work. There are going to be reasons to be offended. You know, I've preached. I went to preach for a pastor. I just, you know, I met him. And I met him, one of our church members, as we got talking. And he said, "Oh, Pastor Aramia, I would really love for you to be, come and be a blessing to our people." He gave me the first date. I said, "I won't be able to make it." He gave me another date. So I didn't want to sound too man of God-ish. I gave me as though I was too busy. But I was quite busy, amen. So he gave me a particular date. I said, "Okay, I'll honor this one." So I had to suspend some things. I took Pastor Tom and we headed there. And it was Abuja. When we got there, to cut a long story short, we were kept in an uncompleted building. It was an uncompleted building. When I came there, the man of God said, "Look, I wanted to get you a hotel, but I said, no, I'm going to get you a very wonderful place." So by the time, I just said, "Wow, if you won't get me a hotel, you gave me a very wonderful place. That would be lovely." That's how we passed by all the, passed by all the potential places in my mind. You know how you're moving and you're just assuming this could be the place. This could be the place. And then we noticed the road just vanished. Then we started walking someplace. I thought, okay, maybe he wants to greet someone. I just couldn't place. Hallelujah. And then eventually we arrived in the place. Praise God. The Bible says we have to be wise. I didn't get offended. I didn't tell him anything. I just told him that I have a pastor. My father in the faith is in town here and he's traveling tomorrow. I'm sure he would love to see me before he travels. I didn't say he wants to see me. I said, "I'm sure he would love to see me. And I'm not sure I'll come back this night." I had an excuse for every night I was in that place to leave. I didn't sleep there. I told Pastor Tom, "Let's go." And that's how we got missing in Abuja for the first time back in the days. But it didn't affect how I ministered. I expected somewhat different treatment, but that's not why I was there. In fact, the power of God was so strong in that meeting. And you know, this man treated me this way and wanted me to take an offering for him. He said, "I should raise an offering. You see, my people love you. Raise an offering." And I was not used to that kind of thing. And that the last night I ministered there, the power of God was so strong. He kept, making these signals. I didn't know he meant, now is the time. This is the action point for the offering. I didn't understand what he was just saying. I kept saying, what's happening? And he wasn't too happy. So he didn't give me honorarium. He didn't give me no honorarium. And back in those days, we didn't have a car. Hallelujah. But those days are gone. But can I say something to you? That's because that was not the primary reason for being in ministry. Are you with me now? Right now, if that man invites me, even if he doesn't put me in a hotel, I will move myself into a hotel where I can stay. You know why? Profit is for purpose. But see, my value system has not changed. Glory to God. The Bible says in Genesis 13, still talking about love. So what drives you? What drives you? It must be reflected in everything we do. We should be excellent in character. We should be excellent in service delivery. See, to say that, you know, there's a misconstrued picture of grace that people have. And people sometimes tend to say that grace is the reason for poor delivery of services. Someone says, I didn't do this well, but I got that. No. We should be able to say, by the grace of God, I was able to do this well. Do you get the difference? I've seen people who, so just imagine, say, "I run this, I have this bakery, I bake some bread. But my testimony is that last week I didn't get my mixture right. It was bad. It wasn't exactly good. But the grace of God just worked marvelously." And people just bought everything like that. I don't think that sounds like a testimony. That's a trap. imagine Mercedes make cars, and they say, oh, we had a problem with the brake system for this particular brand of cars, but we are glad that all of them sold, and you just bought one. Hello? Faulty brake system, but we're glad. No. That's why if you look at some of the leading brands and companies, they give attention to what they sell to the public. It's not because of a profit. It's reputation, because they want to serve people well. I know I'm talking to someone. And that's how you rise. Because a brand is not what you produce. A brand is people's perception of what you produce. When people think about you, how do they perceive you? Love should drive you to do the right thing. Say amen if you can. So there should be love in excellent delivery of what you're doing. How do you treat people? Now, Genesis chapter 13, verse 6. I showed you from the book of Job last week, hallelujah, that we don't use people to make profit. Amen. Father, we give you praise. Genesis 13, verse 6. He's talking about Lot and Abraham. You've probably heard me preach from this scripture a lot of times. And you know I love Abraham. He's a visionary. From one man, there's a nation known as Israel. You should clap for him. Amen. Praise God. If I love the way Paul puts it, he says, from one man, as seemingly dead, a nation sprang up. So if someone that was called barren up until his 90th birthday, hello, to his 100th birthday, a nation could come out of him. Then there is hope for you. Come on, you didn't hear me. I said there's hope for you. But see, there were certain values that he had. And one of them was love. You will never see in scripture, and even in life, check, nobody fights success and succeeds. That's why you shouldn't hate successful people. You know, people just... You know that mindset that every person who is successful stole? It's common in Nigeria. So if you see someone, in fact, they connote success with corruption. They say, oh, these are the people who stole money. It's not every, if you think like that, you will never enter into those places except you have opportunities to steal. It's small-minded people that think like that. Don't hate successful people. Don't watch stories, don't listen to stories of people's success, and instead of rejoicing with them, guess what you do? You start troubleshooting. Yeah, we remain here. Because some of these people, we don't know what they do. No, stop thinking like that. That's being petty. That's being small. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Celebrate people's victories. Celebrate with them. I'm not talking of this celebration that you are celebrating. We thank God. We thank God. You know, pastor said we should rejoice with those. We thank God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that comes. That's why I said values come from the inside. Some years ago, when I got my first car, you know how you can be young and naive? I thought that every testimony you share with everybody. So I just had my car. In fact, this particular case, I didn't share my testimony. I just had this car. I was excited. I went to show some of our friends and some who used to come to church at the time. And I've been believing God for a car, and the car just came. So I drove it to the house. I was happy. And they were all happy. So, you know, their mom came, and they just said, ah, mommy, see pastor's car. You know, Pastor Remy just got the car. You know, and she turned cold. She turned cold. She was iced. You just said, Pastor Remy, Someone gave you a car. I say yes. He say, you, can you maintain a car? That the person has given you load. I said, I can carry it. Amen. He said, do you think you can maintain a car? You must set your priorities aright. Priority? Which priority did I have? I believe God for a car. Somebody gave me a car. Praise the Lord. It's the person's priority, not me. So I just said, ma, the God that brought the car will maintain the car. And I've been giving cars out since then. She's still where she is. Bitter people don't make progress. You never rise by pulling others down. Never. Don't make that mistake. It's by genuinely being happy. Remember, you are going out, there are wolves. So this is the kind of situation that Abraham found himself with Lot. Interestingly, it's Lot that is Abraham that brought Lot into the business. I don't even know what I mean. In fact, he had nothing to do with the call. He had nothing to do with the vision. God said, I'm building a nation. Lot just escorted. And then things, of course, began to work for Lot. And I personally believe that Abraham was a man that everyone around him succeeded. Hello? The measure of success is not how much you've accumulated. It's how many people you have been able to help succeed. And if you are going to build... I know I'm talking. I know our brother here, you know, Calvin, is taking over. Amen. I know what he's doing. He's making shoes. He's into all that. Lovely. And when I hear him talk, I'm excited. You know why? He's always thinking about how to empower others. Someone say, but he's small. That's how he starts. As his business grows now, do you know he can enshrine that into the culture of that company? And everybody want to come. That's why some people leave high-paying jobs to go to certain places. Why? Because it's not just about money. It's job satisfaction. People should be around you and have a sense of fulfillment. See, we can all win together. I said, we can all win together. So you must place value on people. And that's what Abraham, I believe, was the kind of person he was. Lot, we can win together. Say amen. Amen. So the Bible says they so increased, they were so blessed, they got to this place where the land couldn't contain both of them. Now, I did a series some time ago titled Closing the Door to Strife and Bitterness. I want to encourage you to get those series and listen to them. But let me say something here. The Bible says the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Verse 7 says, and there was strife between the headsmen of Abraham's livestock and the headsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So, Abraham said to Lot, please, let there be no strife between you and me, and between my headsmen and your, for we are what? Brethren. No, don't get me wrong. Don't think that love, hello? Don't think that love means being a sissy. No, love means making the tough calls. Love means, look, I'm not going to tolerate this. Are you getting me? Or rather, we just do what? Separate than live in an environment where evil thrives. And that's what he was telling Lot. And, you know, he just said to Lot, look, there's no need for strife, no need for us to quarrel. You know, you must have some guts, you must have some courage, some strength to walk to your nephew who was nothing that you made something and have those kind of conversations with. You know, it's going to poke your ego. Some people say, look, I will reduce you. Come on, have you met some people like that? I'll reduce you to where I picked you from. You're not here to reduce people. Glory to God. Because you are going beyond where we are. Kai. If you see where you are going, you will not have time to squabble over things, little things that slows you down. Wisdom is greater than what? Than strength. And I have seen strong men ruin their lives, ruin their ministries, ruin what they are building because of strife. Kenneth Copeland said, if you love me, pray for me. If you don't love me, pray for me. Because either way, I will be praying for you. You can't afford strife. Because you're going somewhere. It's distraction. Glory to God. And listen, when certain people become excess luggage, you just have to drop them. Is that not what they tell you at the airport? You just have to drop them and keep moving. Like Lot. Lot was becoming what? Lot was a lot to carry. And Abraham said, look, go this way and I'll go this way. And the guy didn't, you know, I was thinking you surrender. But he didn't. I thought he was going to say, okay, look, let's address this issue. Let's settle it. I'm where I am today because of you. And all that. And see, that's why it's very, very, very. See, don't keep company with people who are not loyal. People who laugh and stab you behind. Amen. It's better to bless them, let them go. Remember, Jesus said, be wise. But be harmless as a dove. Abraham said, just go. And Lord just chose. He can now choose. Amen. Chose the seemingly best part. How did Lord end? Who ended up when Lord had issues? Who ended up going to save Lot? Abraham. I watched a story about the man. You heard of the Tata Group? They have the Tata Automobile in India. How some years ago they had issues and they had to sell. You know, the man was making carrier vans and all that. And at the point in time, he wanted to go into passenger vehicles. And the passenger vehicles, they had invested a lot of money into it, and it was just a big flop. It was doing very poorly in the market, so they had to. So they wanted to sell off that wing of their business, and they wanted to sell it to Ford. And when they went there, after 3 hours of lengthy negotiations, the manager of the chief executive of Ford was so rude and said to Rantata, that's the owner of the Tata conglomerate, and said that if you don't know anything about passenger vehicles, you shouldn't go into making them. And he felt insulted. So he just quietly walked to his room and cut off the deal and came back and invested his energy into seeking ways that the cars could work. And I think within 8-9 years, I can't remember exactly, I just watched it shortly before I came into church. Tata in Mumbai became one of the fastest selling brands of passenger vehicles. And Ford had released some product into the market, the Jaguar and some others. And he was doing so poorly, they needed help. So they had to sell to Tata. And they traveled to India to sign the deal because, in fact, the same person who said he didn't know anything, that if he doesn't know anything about business, he shouldn't go into that line of business, was the same person saying that Tata is doing them a favor by helping them buy these products to sell because he was going to help save the company. But you know what got to me? It was the reaction of Rantata. He wasn't mean. He didn't say, oh, I came to you the other time. You treated me this way. Rather, he saw it as a way. Are you getting me? He saw it as a way of helping out another struggling business and a way that they could stand. Are you getting me? And he bought it, didn't even change the brand. They were selling the thing. It became one of the fastest selling cars. Ford bounced back. Are you getting me? Even the Ford group, I acknowledged the fact that, look, these people have been more honorable. Because he felt that, look, we can both win. And about 66 point something percent of their income goes into charity, into worthy causes. And the man was voted the best businessman of the year, much more as the best business personality of the year. It's not just about the prophet. It's your person. You must understand that whatever you are doing as a Christian, you are a messenger of the gospel. Do you understand that? That's why you need love. And learn to turn failures into opportunities to be better. Someone said true revenge is success. As you set out to do your business and to build what you're building, there are going to be all categories of people coming your way. Those who will tell you you are wasting your time. Sometimes it's the people you expect to motivate you, to encourage you. They are the ones who will discourage you. But if you are set to build the walls, you have to be focused. Like Nehemiah, you have to be focused. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You should be able to hang on the cross and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. Don't carry any hurt to the cross. That's who they are, but I'm different. And let it be the guiding light and the principle for what you do. Did you get it tonight? Love should push you to deliver on excellence. Love should push you, are you getting me? To treat people well, to generate value. Glory to God. To be committed, to be faithful. You know, I know some people who come to a ministry and the first time they come into a ministry, they are just learning. They're just learning. But the moment they learn something, you know, they begin to feel they are doing that company or that ministry what? A favor. We quickly forget where we were, where we're coming from, the opportunities that were given to you. Hallelujah. Love is the greatest. Love is the greatest virtue. You know why? It's from love that every other thing like hope and faith springs from. Matthew 25. Let me just read that and then I close. I trust somebody was blessed tonight. Matthew 25. Verse 30. I saw this recently and it so blessed me. Go to verse 31 as I suggest round up. 32. Okay, from verse 31. You know, right after talking about the parable of the talent, are you with me? Jesus says in verse 30 that the unprofitable servant should be what? Cast out. Then in verse 31, you know, I was thinking about this a few days ago. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his what? Of his glory. Look at this. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides sheep from the goats. I mean, you know, he's talking about human beings. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, like me, come! You blessed by of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What is that? Look at what it says. Why was, see, imagine you are all before Jesus and then they start saying, you go to the left, you go to the right, and you don't even know why. He now begins, you understand me? He says, you go to left. Imagine, you know, you're all on a, like a call. They come, he says, all right, sir, right, sir, left, left, left. So you are wondering. Amen. And guess what he gives as a reason for being on the right and on the left? Please don't get me wrong. This is not going to... Okay, let me not say what I'm going to say. He said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. To tell you now that it was not something they were consciously doing so that they can seek right position. Look at what he says. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Look at the answer. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? or thirsty and give you drink. Next verse. When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Amen. Then you say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed into the everlasting fire. That's not your portion. Amen. But this is what I want you to see as we round up tonight. What is it? Are we learning tonight? Is that these people were not doing something to sit in a particular position. You see, love, are you getting me, must become your nature, that what you do is not in pursuit of recognition. I'm talking about doing something and announcing it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Genuinely reaching out to people. That is the virtue we're calling what? Love. That should drive what you do. Not because you want them to know you. It's because that's who you are. Because in all the sum total of man's activities, there's something God is watching. The kingdom operates by things that we don't even take note of. Rabbi Lapine said in one of his books that one of the ways to succeed in business is to make a practice of helping people who cannot pay you back. Empowering people. You know, it's natural to help people who can help you. Buying favors from one another, from yourselves. But do you know, the secret is being able to do things for people who cannot do anything for you in return. That's why even corporate bodies believe in pro bonos. Do you get me now? You have to give out. To empower people that ordinarily cannot pay you. That's why scripture says, he who gives to the poor, who is he lending to? He lends to the Lord. Set up whatever you are building to deliver value and change lives. It could be music. It could be, are you getting me? Let your greatest desire be to be a blessing to people in the things you produce and in the things you give to them. I'm not saying that don't collect money for your services. Are you with me? But don't put the cart before the what? Before the horse. And listen, as you do the things that you do, God recognizes it. He gives you the position. And that's how we rise. And that's how we create systems that others get into as we institutionalize them. And then they continue to deliver on those services even long after we are gone. Glory to God. That's why in Christ Family Center we say love is king. Not as a cliche. That is the truth. That is who we are. And when people come here, like Sister Fumi was testifying, she said from the anytime she's entering the premises, she just feels at what? At peace. It's not, you can't create it if you are not it. Such testimonies don't come if you are not such. Have you been to some houses where they are smiling? You are welcome. And you can sense them saying, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? No, it has to come from where? From the inside. Did you receive anything tonight? Let's stand up. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We lift you up. Be exalted tonight. Thank you for your word. Just go ahead and give him praise.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.